All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome into Sports Talk Over Coffee and the Early Bird Fantasy Show. We had to back it up a little bit. Woke up this morning with a tight back and just can't get anything done unless it gets loosened up. So Andrea was nice enough to go ahead and give us the opportunity to get a walk in this morning. And then we're getting started here this morning here on the Couch Potato, well, the Sports Talk Over Talkie Coffee here. We will be going into a lot of things as far as sports and as far as the Major League Baseball is concerned. Of course, that's what we usually do. We cover a lot of baseball up here up on this show. And what we'll do here really quick is go over the standings in Major League Baseball because that's where it's at. Here's one thing. I want you to notice the location of one particular team that it's kind of a little bit out of ordinary, but it is over in the American League East. The Yankees are 48-40, okay? They are eight games over 500, but they're not even in first place. Okay, the Boston Red Sox, they are on top, 54-36, Baltimore 49-40. That's where Tampa Bay also at 49-40, and the Yankees are 48-40. Now, when we kind of talked about this last week, we were talking about maybe the Yankees sliding a little bit, and I don't think that's maybe actually the case. We got to remember the Yankees are, you know, eight games over 500, and I don't think anybody really expected them to be there where they are. So let's go ahead and bring in fine co-host of this program. Good morning, dear. How are you? It's Andrea.
I'm being a fine co-host this morning.
Yes, you are. You were definitely on it this morning because it took me about 20 minutes to get out of bed. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're usually up at the break of dawn. Today, I couldn't find you. It's funny. I don't even bother trying to call you until, 30 seconds till the show starts. And I'm like, hello.
It's one of those things.
So how was your walk? Feel better? Are you feeling better today?
Oh, yeah. Much, much better. See, what happens when I sleep, if I sleep too long, and that was just the general case what happened. I went to bed at 10 o'clock last night. I got 10 hours of sleep. I feel like, you know, I slept 10 hours because I did. But the only problem is that if I sleep too long, my back just does not like me very much. And it's got to get stretched out before anything happens, even sitting down in the fact of the matter is. So when I sat down at the computer seeing your message, I was like, we got it. I was trying to type fast so I could get out the door.
Oh, that's
all
funny.
Good.
Well, you know, I'm.
This morning. My back is definitely feeling better, so I'm ready to go, ready to rock and roll. What's going on this morning?
Well, right now, I just earlier sent Jordan Zimmerman a message on Facebook and said, can you please be my friend because you're my favorite pitcher? And, I mean, that's all I said. I'm serious, but I don't think he's checked his Facebook page since January. I don't think he's a real Facebooker, but
yeah,
I'm feeling, you know, like that's.
He might be a Twitter.
I don't think he's a Twit or a Facebooker, but this is why nobody knows him, and that's fine. I'm sure he likes to be on the down low, but
probably.
I just said, please be my friend because I'm your biggest fan, and I think I am. But I think, you know, next time he looks at his Facebook page, if it's sometime in the near century,
your Jordan Zimmerman fan is like an old country song. You were Jordan Zimmerman fan before Jordan Zimmerman fans were considered cool.
I think I was a fan of Zimmerman before Zimmerman was a fan of himself.
Definitely.
I'm thinking maybe I should get his wife to be my friend. Maybe that'll get me an in.
Yeah, you get the end, you know, mutual friend. Okay, I'll be her friend. But you got to be careful because now on Facebook, what I'm finding out in my sports page is they get nasty about it. If someone says, oh, I don't know this person, and then they block you for 10 days for adding friends. And then if it happens again, they block you for 2 weeks. Now, I know because I've been on that 2 weeks thing. So got to be careful.
What does that mean,
that.
Adding friends?
When you send out a friend request and you don't actually know them, there's a new way of the person who gets the friend request on Facebook to screw you over, and that is to put you on a friend block for The first offense, I think you get an email. The second one, you get a 10-day. And the third one, you get 2 weeks without adding friends. And then I think the fourth one, you get a month. And then they delete you off of Facebook.
Okay, so I don't know, like, who you're stalking on Facebook and all, but, like, I'm pretty good about not harassing people. I mean,
you're chick.
I really
you're
think,
chick.
But I'm sitting here
you're,
thinking, like, if Jordan Zimmerman turned
too,
me in
so
or some shit like that, I would probably not like him anymore.
Well, you're a cute.
And then I thought,
too,
well,
so it's the way it works.
I know, but see, they don't want to do that to their fans. That's why, like, most of the time they'll accept you as their friend, even though they don't know who the hell you are. They know that it's for public, you know, public purpose. Anyway, so that's what I did. And then I noticed that Ross Detweiler went on the DL, so I looked at the depth chart to see if my boy Taylor Jordan, because, you know, he accepted my friendship request right away, and make sure that he's still in the rotation because they're activating Dan Heron, I think, today.
Oh, he should be activated. Yeah, I think I read that, too.
So, yes, he's Taylor Jordan is as right now the listed as the fourth starter on MLB.com. And then when Heron comes back, I'm sure Taylor Jordan will be the fifth starter. And so I just wanted Lady Melnick to know that.
Okay. Casey's listening. I understand. Got it. Hey, but I want to ask you a question.
Okay, so moving on about, you
Hold
know,
on.
The...
I want to ask you a question before you get into it, because there's two things I wanted to bring up, and this was one of them, is the Toronto Blue Jays and their situation with where they are in this division trying to buy a championship. It just so far has not worked out for this baseball team, has it? I mean, this grabbing all these players has, you know, taken a toll on this football or on this baseball team.
It's interesting because at the beginning of the season, they grabbed some players, and I think that they were in a really good spot to do it. I mean, they just looked at the Red Sox and the Yankees probably and said, you know, they're going to have a down season. It's our time to shine. Let's just get it on. So they got like Jose Reyes, and, you know, that added to their roster. I mean, just their lineup full of hitters. They have Encarnacion and Batista, and, you know, they have lots of hitting on that club. But the biggest question going into the season was whether or not they were going to have the bullpen. And, you know, it came down to, you know, Lenny and I had the argument about it because he said, who's going to be in there? They have no bullpen, and you just can't win without a bullpen. So it's funny that they actually have the best bullpen in the American League East right now, which is absolutely amazing. And I think that Toronto is going to be okay. I mean, Roger Davis is hitting. You know, this guy used to just steal bases, and now every once in a while he comes around. He hits home runs now. He's got a little pop.
Well, they're going to have to play for the wild card. They're 10 games back right now. They're going to have to. I'm not sure what the wild card number is, but they're 10 games back right now. So their wild card's probably what, six? You know, they're probably
well.
Six
think
games
about it this way. I mean, we. I don't even think about the wild card right now because, anything's possible at this point. You can't just – we're going into the halfway point, but there's 170 games in baseball, and every year I start to lose hope for so-and-so, or I lose hope for a team like the Dodgers couldn't possibly come back, or the Yankees couldn't possibly come back, or whoever's doing crappy, and then it happens. I remember a couple years ago going into the last month of the season, Colorado was back – to make the playoffs by like 7 or 8 or 9 games, and they actually won 29 out of 30 games in the month of, I believe it was September.
That was 3 years ago. Yes, that was 3 years ago. I remember that. That was our first
and
year
you,
on the air.
Like they're winning, and another team is losing, then you're gaining that. You're actually gaining a whole game in one day, so it can happen. And I'm not going to be surprised if it. You know, you see that there's just a lot of shady stuff going on. American League East. I mean, I'm a Red Sox fan, but the Red Sox aren't going to be able to maintain the best batting average in baseball. I don't think. I mean, do you?
Well,
they have.
I think they need to make sure the pitching is. I think even if the hitting goes down a little bit in Boston, I think what they need to maintain is definitely their pitching. Their pitching hasn't been horrible.
Certainly.
So if they can maintain the pitching, They can still lose a couple of runs a game, and I think they'll still be okay. So they just have to maintain a little bit. Maybe if they can maintain 90% of what they're doing now with the bats, I think they're going to be okay, at least maybe battling definitely for, you know, that those wild card shots and stuff like that, if not win the division outright.
That division is so – I mean, I will not be the one to try and analyze who's going to do what in the American League East. I mean, I'll do that with other divisions, thank you. Because every year, like, you rule out Tampa Bay. I mean, everybody's done this. They rule out Tampa Bay. It's just it happens – year after year, Tampa Bay doesn't look all hot. You know, San Francisco doesn't look like the best team. And then all of a sudden, here comes San Francisco. Here comes Tampa Bay. You know, here comes St. Louis, whatever.
San Francisco, and they're like, they play in one of the worst divisions in Major League Baseball. So that's another thing.
They stink
right
now.
So they can,
they're the worst team in the division at this point.
Yeah, and I don't know if Arizona's capable of maintaining the lead over there. That's, you know,
it's kind of exciting, right? I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, look at Cleveland and
Dodgers are loving it.
The Dodgers are finally winning some games, and I heard you talking about the Yankees when we first started the podcast. Like, the Yankees are winning some games. I was in the liquor
store. Above 500.
And
I mean,
you see the scores like 4-1 or something. At the guy at the counter, I'm like,
did we lose you? Andrea? Woo! Okay, we might have lost her. Roto Radio came over there and put... So I lost Andrea. If you can hear me, Andrea, that means I lost you. I don't know if mine's the main one listening. Hang up and give us a call back. And what we'll do while she's doing that, and we'll do that. I mean, we're talking about the Yankees here before she jumped in here. The Yankees are 48-40. I mean, normally this is a pretty good number. But here's the thing. I'm looking at Oakland, and by the way, I picked Oakland to win the West at the beginning of the season, and I maintain it, and look where they have. They have come back from, you know, fourth place to third place to second. Now this will just land up there in first place. I love the Athletics this year. Not only that, I love their pitching. Their pitching is, you know, crazy good. I don't know if I'm gonna hang you up so you can call back, Andrea. I don't know if you can hear me, and I think that's one of the things with your phone. There she goes. So she's gonna call back here. But I like Oakland. And they're right now, they've got the lead over in the West. Oakland 52-37, 51-37 for Texas. LA 43-45. Seattle with a lowly 39-10 games under 500. Jeez Louise. 39-49. Houston 32-57. They're god awful. Let's go to the Central, where the Detroit Tigers are hanging. They got a 2.5 game lead over Cleveland, 48-39. I like to see Cleveland back there, because if you remember correctly, 3 years ago, this was not a bad baseball team. Now they're kind of putting it back together. 46-42 for them. Kansas City 41-44, 37-48 for Minnesota. And the Sox, I mean, my gosh, 34-51, playing terrible baseball. So that's the American League. And so we'll roll through the National League really quick. Atlanta 50-38, 46-42 for Washington. Philadelphia 43-46. The Mets 37-48, 11 games. Jeez. At Miami 32-55. Everybody expect that. Pittsburgh on top. How about them? Nice to see them doing what they are doing right now. 53-34, tied with St. Louis in the Central. St. Louis is always going to be there. And since he's trying to fight that battle as well at 50-38, then you got the Cubs 38-48. And 35-52 for Milwaukee. Arizona up on top right now in their division in the West, 47-41, 42-45 for LA, but they've been winning some baseball games, so that's something to keep an eye out for. It's one of those things as far as you don't know what you're going to get with them. Colorado 42-47, 40-47 for San Francisco, and San Diego 40-49. Let's bring back on Andrea. How you doing? You back? You're typing. Can you hear me?
Oh, hello? Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't think you saw me there, so I was typing to you. I'm saying hello.
No.
I don't even know what happened.
Did I get connected? I think what happened is that are you on a Bluetooth?
No, I'm not, but I was logged in under our NDB Media like you, and then I think I have no idea what happened. But, no, I'm on my cordless phone. Does it sound okay or no?
Yeah, it sounds good. So I think it'll be all right. So we're doing good. At least I got you back. Since I lost you, I went through the standings in Major League Baseball. And
I was here listening, in the –
I'm just looking at this, and I'm asking myself, wow. I mean, especially the West over in the National League, alive. You're talking about some teams there that you're getting some good play from some teams and bad plays from another. But I think when I look
you're
at the
You're talking about the National League West?
Good God almighty.
Talking about the Dodgers and how good they're doing, but they're not really
doing
all that good, are they?
They're coming back and winning some games, but I hate this division. I mean, geez Louise.
They're just catching up to the rest of the crew. So, the Phillies came out, Ruben Amaro came out and said that they have this stretch of 10 games and going into the All-Star break, and then these 10 games, he was going to decide whether or not the Phillies were going to be buyers or sellers, because at a point you have to decide whether or not you're going to be able to compete, and if you can't, then you sell players. So they won the first game, and then going into the second game or whatever, Ryan Howard goes on the DL, and they're not ruling out surgery, so they say that and I'm just thinking, well, that has to count as at least, a couple losses on their side. They can't really, it's got to be weighted now towards the seller side. And so it's interesting because I don't remember the last time I heard the Phillies saying that they were going to be sellers, but they have to admit after a while that they just invested too much money in pitching and didn't take care of, replacing the offense, the aging offense.
And plus, you grab up Michael Young. He hasn't been doing very good defensively at all. I mean, this guy's an error machine. And for some reason, he goes from one team to another. Chase Utley's this team's breaking down. I mean, and you can't go out. Carlos Zambrano, has a
Zambrano?
Shoulder strain, I think. Yeah, Carlos Zambrano's shoulder strain.
And he's talk
coming
about him.
Back. Yeah, he's coming back. I mean, this team's a mess. This seems a mess.
Okay, well, absolutely. I think that they have some pitching.
When do you get rid of Ryan Howard, though?
Ryan Howard's on the DL, but he's got a contract that goes into Joe Mauer land, so
right.
He'll be there for the long haul. I don't think they can trade Chase Utley. I think that if they were going to trade somebody, they would trade a pitcher, and they don't want to trade, Cole Hamels, because he's had just such an unlucky, crappy season that they would have to trade him at low value, and you know how I feel about that. So
yep.
If they're going to trade a pitcher, Papelbon, which is, he's shooting off his mouth again, which I love when he's on another team shooting off his mouth.
Yeah, and he's one of the major problems in that. Bullpen, I think.
He's a good pitch. He's a good closer. He's. I don't think he's a problem. I think he's an asset that they could use if they decide that they can't win. There's a lot of teams out there that would be – you think about what can you get the most chunk of money for, and it would be Papelbon in this case.
I think so. I just think Papelbon needs – his mouth is what always gets that guy in trouble. If that guy could shut up for more than 5 minutes, it'd probably be a miracle and probably people would love him.
Did you hear what you're saying
bad
about
contracts too? Bad contracts. Look at Michael Young's contract. It's a god awful contract. And Michael Young was smart to jump on that, even though he's playing for the Phillies. I mean, because the Texas Rangers weren't going to match that damn thing. So there you go.
We love Michael Young. Give some love to the guy that we've been a fan of forever, dude. We like Michael Young, but I was not.
I love.
Someone was talking about the Red Sox getting Michael Young. I'm like, first you go invest in Stephen Drew, now you're going to talk about getting Michael Young. I just don't even believe that that's possible.
I don't know about that, but even though I had some love for Michael Young last year as the ending of the season, you saw that love tapering off because he was becoming a liability in the Texas lineup. Now, granted, they used him to where he was the best for him. Everyday player, Michael Young's not an everyday player. Michael Young should be about a 50%. Throw him in when you need somebody.
He's been a consistent set it, forget it, dude, guy for like ever. This is the first year that he's gone downhill, but you're right. And speaking of set it and forget it, dude, Bochy, you know, he decides that he's not going to put Puig in the All-Star game, so he puts Scudero in the All-Star game. What the hell? I mean, Scudero is – I'm a fan of Scudero, okay? So if anybody's a fan, it's me. But – really? I mean, Ian Desmond doesn't get in, but you're going to put Scudero in? I don't know. Josh Donaldson doesn't get in, but Scudero's in, and it just happens to be one of his own players. So what do you think about
exactly. that? Exactly. That's the problem with letting the managers have too much control. And first of all, the All-Star game is a joke. Okay, I hate the All-Star game. Matter of fact, I think they should take it, and they should just blow it up and just forget it because it's not done and done right because you're getting players that haven't even played a game in the All-Star game. It just pisses me off. That's why they should blow the All-Star game up or at least change the rules on how they're going to vote people into the All-Star game. Simple as that. And they won't do it. And that's because the problems with the fans doing it, the fans are stupid. Okay, they don't have a clue on what baseball is. They go, oh, I didn't recognize that game, or I he's on my team, so I'll just pick everybody from that team. It just pisses me off. That's why, and I've been saying that about the All-Star game since back in 1985. I mean, it's a joke, and I hate the All-Star game. It's the dumbest thing in the world.
Well, it has to be either a fan game for the fans. A show or something, an entertainment event, or it has to be an event that decides who gets to play home field advantage in Game 7 of the World Series. I mean, it may not come down to it every time, but it's not cool that we leave this up to people that are going to selfishly decide. I mean, you can't leave it up to fans. Look who we vote for. Man, look at our political system in this country. You think the fans can vote? What? We're freaking out of our minds. We can't vote. We vote for what we want right now.
Yeah.
We don't vote for the poor team that what's going to make the – because most people are fans of one team or another. They're not fans of the National League or the American League. So they don't
–
it's not – and it affects the whole National League or the whole American League. But, St. Louis manager Matheny.
Okay.
Anyway, he – decided that Adam Wainwright wasn't going to pitch in the All-Star game. He was going to pitch twice before the All-Star game. So apparently, he's pretty much saying the All-Star game doesn't matter to him. What matters to him is getting to the All-Star game. I mean, getting to the World Series, not using my pitcher in the All-Star game. Just kind of a Yankee move, kind of like one of those, I don't need to put my player in because it doesn't matter to me. I want to win. That's fine.
Absolutely.
Because that's what it's come down to. The National League has so much good pitching, it doesn't even matter if Adam Wainwright pitched because there's another good pitcher that's just as solid.
And I'll say this. I love the move. Matter of fact, if I had a number one pitcher heading to there, I'd do anything and everything to keep him out of the All-Star game. There's no way. I mean, if I'm going for – especially the Cardinals fighting in the battle in the Central, that's going to be a great division to watch for the rest of the season. I love it.
Check it out.
I have
a trivia for you.
Any of my players in the All-Star game.
Trivia? Ready?
Okay. Yeah?
Okay, so we're talking about St. Louis. So since Albert Pujols has been gone, there's just – who's the active player on St. Louis? And he's a starter, too, by the way, that has the most – he's hit the most home runs for the Cardinals.
In 2013?
Just in general. Like, who's had the most home runs in their tenure with the St. Louis team? Like, Albert Pujols did, and then he left,
Okay.
What player on that team hit home runs?
Beltran, I would think, right?
No. It's Matt Holliday, and that's interesting to me. The reason I brought it up is because guess who's hit into the most double plays this season?
Well, that I have no clue.
That's Matt Holliday.
Oh, okay. Most home runs and most double plays.
And Matt Holliday yesterday.
Are you sure it's not Carlos Beltran?
Positively. I don't think he's at – is he on the same – because I want to say he's not even on the Cardinals anymore, but I don't know for sure.
I think he is a Cardinal. I'm almost sure. I think he's playing right field.
He hasn't been a Cardinal, though. I mean, he's just – okay. Carlos Beltran did not always play on the Cardinals. I'm talking about for the Cardinals, like as tenure, like while they've been a Cardinal.
Oh, I thought you were talking about maybe since Albert Pujols left.
Not since he left, but just in general, like who's the number one home run hitter on the Cardinals for that team?
Oh. Okay, Matt Holliday. Okay, I get it. I get what
I tried to make it as clear as I could, but apparently I'm not. Sometimes I have a rough time with that.
I kind of keep track of the. I kind of keep track of the Cardinals because more in the fact they grabbed up some guys like Beltran from the Mets who weren't doing shit. Now he's playing like he's supposed to play. This is the Carlos Beltran I like more so than the one that was with the Mets after he signed that big contract deal. I like the Cardinals. This is my favorite division. National League Central is my favorite division in baseball.
It's a good division. Come on. I want to get more trivia here. My computer only goes slow when I need something, which is probably always the way, right?
Hey, that's the way it always works.
Soria, we're going to go back to some trivia when I get done getting, my phone to get in gear. But Patrick Corbin, that's a good one to talk about. Now he's 10-1. Patrick Corbin comes out, strikes
playing
out 10
crazy
batters, dude.
Yep, playing.
Right?
He's playing. What do they say that in hockey? He's playing on his head. That's what's going on with Corbin. Love it. I love that guy. And we kind of talked about him a couple weeks ago. Slowly moving up, and people are starting to recognize him. I think we were one of the first to recognize this guy was moving slowly up, and he's. I think he's going to be. I hope he can.
I recognize him as a rookie. Traded his ass, remember? That's the problem.
Absolutely. And the funny thing is that we were talking about him and Davis. Those were the guys that we were talking about, and Davis doing what he's doing. You know he's on pace to hit 66 home runs?
I do, dude. I mean, there's all kinds of things that are going on, like these all kinds of records that between Chris Davis and
Tweet. I don't want to be the first to bring it up, though. But I'm going to.
Okay. Go ahead.
We haven't heard anything about, sports enhancing drugs with this guy. Haven't heard anything. No word whatsoever. This guy's on pace to hit 66 home runs, and no one's even thinking about this guy up on sports enhancing drugs.
Oh, they are thinking of it, and I guarantee he's been drug tested more than once this season. I mean, they're not talking about it because he didn't come back positive. What the hell is going on, bitches? And then Bryce Harper, dude, tries to get benched. They say he walks up to his manager and says, either play me or trade me because he wasn't hitting. He was, having a big slump as soon as he came back. He's like, maybe tries too hard or whatever, but Davey Johnson's like, get your mind right. And so Bryce Harper says, trade me or play me. And so he comes back, and Bryce Harper, ever since he – sometimes a good benching really kicks someone into gear, and I like it when you bench a player. I don't care who they are. If they're not hitting, you bench them, You play the guy that's hitting. And yesterday he went 3-for-4, 2 runs, an RBI, and 2 steals. Thank God he's stealing bases again. Whoopee. Bryce Harper's back.
Yeah, and just – I don't know. Play me or trade me is not the things that you say, but how about this, trading him is out of the question. I don't think that's something that is
we're not trading you, and we're not playing you, okay? So you can sit down, Mr. But, you've got to love his passion.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I think too much is being made of this play me, trade me thing. I think that's just a, off the cuff statement, that's made. And with him doing everything right, everybody's got I'm going to tell you right now, I think every player with any kind of ego has said that to his manager. This one just happens to get out.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing either. I mean, I don't know what people are saying about it. I don't care what they're saying. What it shows me is that he is what he is, but he definitely needs somebody to protect him from him. I mean, he needs to be watched like a little kid about, because the Nationals invested a lot of money in him. They can't be just letting him just act and, because he wants to play, and that's great to a point, but he's not going to look out for his own safety at all. So
yeah,
I think they learned that last time.
And here's another thing. They got two superstars on this one, on this team. Strasburg doing. I mean, finally, everybody's off the Strasburg bandwagon. Thank God.
What do you mean?
I think the hype has calmed down up on Strasburg. I think what we're seeing here, as far as Strasburg is concerned, this guy was a great pitcher.
He made the All-Star team, though, as a reserve, right? Not on the starting list, like Jordan Zimmermann made the starter.
Here's what I say. That's the reason why fans shouldn't be allowed to vote for the damn thing. Okay?
Check this out. Here's more trivia.
I need another 10 pounds.
Oh, I get it. I totally get you. I'm with you. It needs to be one way or another. If the fans get to vote, it should just be for the fans then. So who's the only player to hit an inside-of-the-park home run in an All-Star game? He's a current player now.
Oh, geez. I've seen this. Why did I see this? Was there a recent article about this?
Yes, I found it this morning on MLB.
Okay,
it's Ichiro,
I forget who it was. Was it Ichiro?
It's Ichiro, and it happened in 2007.
I would have guessed Ichiro just because of his speed and the fact that this guy is saying, I love Ichiro Suzuki. Jesus, I love that guy.
Here's a good one. Okay, so this is how I should have phrased the Matt Holliday home run thing. With Albert Pujols and Angel, who is the Cardinals' active leader in career home runs? And it's Matt Holliday with 101
career
home runs for...
Okay. Career home runs. Because I think Beltran, has got more home runs this year anyway on him.
He's got more home runs than Matt Holliday by far, dude. I think he's crushed him. Check this out. This is so good. Who holds the record for the most hits in his debut month? Okay, now we're talking like a 30-day span, okay? This number of 48 home runs in a 30-day span is outrageous, okay? Who did it?
Say the question anyway, because I think it's this Dodger kid. And this kid's playing crazy.
Who holds the record? Puig is now, that's why this trivia question is here, I'm sure, because Puig, Dodger kid, is, he's breaking records all over the place for, doing the most in the first month. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that he steals bases, too. But this guy hit 48 home runs in his first month in Major League Baseball.
That's not true.
It was in
1946. Wait a second. 48 home runs in 1 month in 1946?
In his debut month, dude. That's what I'm saying. It's crazy.
Okay, your phone's breaking up. Did you say debut runs or home runs?
Who holds the record for the most? I can't even read. My phone's blank and I can't read.
Here's the problem. Your phone's also breaking up.
Okay, let me call you back then.
Okay, call me back.
I'm calling you back.
All right, very good. So she's going to try to call back, and I'm not sure if she's saying home runs or runs. I'm not sure what she is saying as far as where she, where she is as far as what she's asking. We'll find out what she's trying to ask as far as the question in the trivia, because she said it was a guy that played and hit 46 home runs in one year, or 1 month. So I think she might be incorrect about that. So let's see what she says. Let me see if she's back in the. See if she is back in the there she is. It's finally popped up. Okay, you back there?
Okay, yes, I was totally wrong. I read it wrong, and so I could edit this crap out, I totally would. But it's just hits, but still it's a lot of hits. 48 hits in his debut month. It was Joe DiMaggio. Can you hear me better?
Oh, okay. Yes, hear you much better. And I would have thought about it in the year that you would, I would have put it together that it was Joe DiMaggio. But what I think is this young kid over there, I can't pronounce it.
Puig.
Is it Puig or whatever?
Puig.
I can't pronounce the guy. Puig.
It's Puig.
He's having a phenomenal phenomenal, rookie season. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he's, breaking records all over the place as far as what he's doing in Major League Baseball.
Oh, for sure. And that's why there's so much drama about whether or not he should be allowed in the All-Star game and all that, because he is really breaking records all over the place. So,
has he played enough games?
It's interesting.
Has he played enough games?
There is
to
no
qualify?
Qualification number of games.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm joking about. As far as you gotta be able to play a certain amount of games before you're considered an All-Star, I think. But
well,
obviously
you don't, though. I mean,
I know. I think
obviously
yeah,
you
yeah.
don't.
I don't know. I mean, I look at the guy, and the fact that you can generate. Twitter news and, quick news and things like that, as much as he has been able to generate. I don't know. I like the guy. I think, I don't know if he's an All-Star because I don't know his actual stats, but I know they're up there. I don't know. Not sure.
Well, here's the thing. It depends on how you look at it. If you look at it as a game for the fans, by the fans, then yes, he's an All-Star. If you look at it like an All-Star game should be based on talent, people like Pavel Bond, people play a lot longer and work hard to get into this game or whatever. Half the people don't even play because their manager's afraid that they're going to get hurt. And Pavel Bond is just, whatever. But if it's a game that is based on, past statistics and length of tenure, then no, he's not an All-Star. If it's for the fans, then yeah, certainly, dude. Nobody wants to see anything more than a guy that hits. And Puig is a guy that hits.
Yeah, and streakiness has a lot to do with it. I mean, if you think about Ryan Howard, okay, and what he's done, which, for the last, I don't think this guy has had a hit forever, and he's striking out like crazy. So there's obviously something wrong with him. So should he be considered? Jabba Chamberlain, should that guy be considered? I don't know. I look at him and I go, man.
I was just going to say, I got Puig's stats in front of me, and he's played in 32 games, so a little over a month, but he's got 52 hits, 8 home runs, 5 stolen bases, and he's batting .409. All right. So that blows Joe DiMaggio out of the water. If it's 48 world pace, so he's played 2 extra games, whatever, so 3 extra games. But he's right there with him, and guaranteed Joe DiMaggio wasn't stealing bases and hitting .408 probably at the time. Who knows? That was 1936. So either way, moving on from that, because, that's all people have been talking about, and I'm kind of just have to get my piece in, and now I'm ready to move on. Ready?
Okay, do it.
So hold on, my notes, I left them. What else do we got?
Well, I
got your boy
Greinke.
What are you going to do with Greinke? Do you own Greinke?
No, I don't own Greinke, but that guy's pissed me off. I put him on the couch, man. The guy's a punk thug. He's moved from being a great pitcher to being a punk thug. I don't even care what happens to him.
Oakland called up their Grant Green, over a full year at AAA last year. He hit .296 with 15 homers and 13 stolen bases. This year, he's got 11 homers and 4 stolen bases and a .318 batting average. So they just called him up middle infielder. So, I mean, who doesn't need a middle infielder, right, at this point?
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't know if he's going to platoon, though, at the first. I don't know if he's going to platoon right away. So, but I would still grab him up because if he does platoon, it's probably only going to be a matter of time before he gets a full-time job. Otherwise, I just don't think they would have brought him up. I think that they're going to make room for him if he does well. I don't see why he wouldn't. He's not like a young teenager. He's definitely in his mid-20s. So, Grant Green is somebody to check out if you need a middle infielder. Everybody needs a middle infielder.
Yeah, in any league, even if you. Yeah, I agree.
Remember,
I think you should. I think you should grab middle infielders and put them up. If you see them and their stock is rising, I think you grab them up compared to your useless outfielders that you get, and at least have them on the bench in case something happens. Because you can always get an outfielder.
You remember the talk that we had that when I was drafting in the NFBC League, and I was trying to decide if I should draft Torrey Hunter, and I was like, I don't know if he's going to – we got – confused as to who where he played. Remember, he's a Detroit. He hits right before Fielder and Cabrera, and I was like, he's getting old, though, and I don't know. Every year his batting average is so good, and I don't know if he's going to get 500 at-bats again, you know. So I ended up not. I ended up drafting some young fool.
I think he's doing really well, right?
He's crazy good, dude. There is no doubt about it. This guy's crazy good.
There's
no doubt.
Roy
Oswalt turd again. Roy Oswalt, sir, are you surprised?
No, because Oswalt is about as useless as a turd in a swimming pool.
I feel bad saying that, but it's kind of true.
No, well, I mean, look what he did. All you got to do is look what he tried to do in Texas when he tried to come back. That's all you got to do. Take a look at that stint and realize, you know, this guy isn't worth a nickel anymore. And at one time, a good pitcher, you know, all-star, great guy, great pitcher. This is what happens when you get old. Your arm turns into a rubber band, and it just doesn't work anymore.
I mean, especially when you're a pitcher and you have to take, you know, get shots of cortisone and stuff, and it's just super painful for him. So the Dodgers got in Alaska, and, you know, at least they're doing something, I guess. I mean, they are going for it. They have to try to go for it at least.
I think
you can't quit in mid-season after you.
Oh, you can't afford
200.
To quit. Not as much money as they got invested in that team. I mean, Magic
apparently
Johnson's
they they're
crazy.
Like
he wants them in the
playoffs. Apparently, their money tree
least.
Like I don't know. The Dodgers like apparently don't care about money. All of a sudden, you know, they have the investors over there. They're owned by Magic Johnson and all his buddies. I don't know.
Yep.
Apparently, they just have never-ending money bucket. So. We'll see what happens.
Nice.
Matt Kemp is hurt again, just in time for Carl Crawford to come back. And who knows what's going to happen fantasy-wise if, God forbid, Carl Crawford and Matt Kemp are healthy at the same time.
Yeah, that would be one of those all-star situations in your fantasy lineup if it happens.
Ryan Braun's ready to come back from the DL.
Yeah. Does anybody care?
That's good for, people that drafted him, like myself.
Okay. Fantasy-wise,
I mean,
because
you drafted him, dude. If you did draft him, you drafted him in the first round, just like Matt Kemp. So it matters to those people. We'll see what happens. I mean, he was out for a little while, but that can hurt a unit, dude, when Ryan Braun goes down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Without question. And not only that, it could hurt him really bad in reality. So, yes, absolutely. I agree with you.
You remember talking about Eric Young Jr., and I said he's going to steal some bases for real. I see yesterday
Eric
went
who?
2-for-5 with this Eric Young Jr.
Okay, yes, okay.
He used to play for Colorado, I think. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Colorado, and they never had really any room for him. But every time he would play, he would steal a base. And I'm like, why don't you just let this guy go where he can steal some bases on a regular basis, you know? And they finally did let him go, and now he's working every day. Eric Young Jr. is a super pickup for stolen bases, and, you know, there's not a ton of steals in Major League Baseball this year.
No, it's not, and it's one of the reasons why it's hard to watch a game, because when you're sitting there, and I don't go crazy analyzing the game while it's going on, but I turn off the commentators when I'm watching a ball game, because I like to see what I would do in that situation. And I'm sitting here going, why are they not running the bases? Why are they not stealing the bases? I mean, a 2-2 pitch, come on, let's go. Do the hit and run, get it going at least a little bit, you know, do something. And the strategies of the games, I think, are being thrown out the window. And it might be because of the home runs. I don't know. But it'll be – I don't know. It's interesting.
Miguel Cabrera, dude, yesterday. I mean, this
crazy
guy
– good.
First of all – hello. I mean, there's nobody. You know, this guy wins the goal – he won a title last year where he got the stats, what nobody's wanted in a while. You know, he had
the Triple Crown.
Three, Yeah, Triple Crown. And this year he's, like, topping that. I mean,
yeah.
You have to give him the Triple Crown again, right? If he tops his number from last year, you have to give him the award again. It's not like you could just say, well, you got it last year. But, I mean, nobody gets it. Yesterday's 4-for-4, two ribbies, a grand slam, a stolen base, hitting .368, and his stolen base comes from a double steal with Prince Fielder in the sixth. Prince Fielder and Miguel Cabrera have, like, power rings or something, and they're like, go power rings, you know? The force be with you. And then they go out there, and then they hit, and they run, and they're, like, super good together. They saved Anibal Sanchez's ass the other day when he came back from the DL.
Yep. I love it. And the fact that those two are doing a double steal, I mean, geez, talk about two locomotives running down the baselines.
I know. And, you know, Torii Hunter just hits right in front of him, and it's like, the other day I mentioned that to Lenny, and he says, well, the only thing about Torii Hunter, he doesn't steal a lot of bases anymore. And I'm like, well, would he steal if he even had the ability to do it? Because he's got Prince Fielder and Miggy right behind him. Everybody's going
to
be like, don't bother. You could walk
it.
Home.
Mm-hmm.
You could just walk
yep.
home, you know? Just start walking when Miguel Cabrera gets up to bat, and you'll be cool.
See,
you'll get home by the time Fielder
funny.
Hits.
I mean, you got Fielder on there, and you got Cabrera, and neither one of them, which is good for Detroit, are going to be in the home run derby. I think Cano, Davis, Dunn, and Trumbo are going to be in the home run derby and the American League side.
Are you sure,
and,
Miguel? Are you sure, Miggy and Prince aren't going to be in it? Prince comes every year with his boy. His boy looks just like him, dude, and he's super cute. I always look forward to seeing him. And he plays with Big Poppy's kid.
Well,
they're always big. Are you
read,
sure Fielder's
now,
not?
I might have read the thing wrong, but I know Prince Fielder was in consideration of and Miguel Cabrera were in consideration, but I think they settled on in the American League Cano, Davis, Dunn, and Trumbo. And if I'm telling you right now, if I was the Orioles, I'd say there's no way Chris Davis is doing the home run derby. There's no way. Now, granted, he has to. I think it's almost where he has to. But, man, if I'm who's the manager? Gosh, I love this guy. His name is – I mean,
what do you mean he's not doing it? Why wouldn't he do it? It might be a chance of a lifetime for
Chris Davis.
I wouldn't
let him do it. They're going to –
Oh, because
Chris
of that
Davis,
rumor?
No, no, just because the
people
fact that
don't
time,
hit well after –
If that's not a rumor. That's a fact. I mean, you see that every year.
For some people, that's
yeah,
not true.
I
it's like the freaking. It's like the Verducci effect, dude. It's made up.
Why put your team at risk? I mean, especially with what this guy is doing this year. I mean, I if I'm the Orioles, I'd find some kind of crazy, you know, crazy injury, and I wouldn't let this guy anywhere near the ballpark. I understand the strategy of why you don't want him in there, because if fluke accidents or batting in the home run derby, you know, it screws up their swing or they go in a slump after it's done. There's enough evidence to say I don't think I want my player to be part of that.
I'd really like to get some information here, MLB.com. Can you give me some love? I need some information. I want to know who's hitting in the home run derby.
I think it's Cano, Davis, Dunn, and Trumbo in the American League. For the National League, I think it's Wright, Alvarez, Harper, and I don't know if that's the last I heard. I don't know if Harper's going to be a part of it because of the injury, and Stanton.
I found an article saying big bats, big fun here. Okay, I think this might work. Miggy and Edwin Encarnacion are among the AL leaders in home runs, but their respective teammates, Prince Fielder and Batista, dominated last year's home run derby. And, you know, that's true, too. Usually the guy, okay, the American League is Miggy, Batista, Davis, and then they have some dark horses, David Ortiz, Cano, Trumbo, Cruz, Trout. Who votes on this thing, man?
Raul
Ibanez, Adam Dunn, Mark Reynolds. These guys have never participated. So
let me see if I can find that article I was reading.
Cargo, Beltran. I just don't get how. I think it's the guy that wins last year.
I read an opinion piece because I found the piece where I was reading. This is an opinion piece. I thought it was an actual piece. So this was an opinion piece on who he thought was going to be in there. So mark that. I take that back. I don't know who's hitting. I thought this was what it was going to be. I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't have Chris Davis betting in this
Okay, it's two teams of four. Okay, hold on. It's two teams of four, and they're picked by the captain, the team captain, which would be one for the National League and one for the American League. David Wright is the National League captain, and Cano is the American League captain. So they get to hand-pick who they want for. And it sucked last year. Remember, Billy Butler got asked out, and it was in Kansas City. This is why Harvey is – or wait, it's not Harvey. Who's the pitcher that's going to be – is it Harvey? Who's the Mets friggin' pitcher? Oh, yeah, it's Matt Harvey. He's going to be starting the All-Star game for the National League just because it's in over here in New York at Mets Stadium. So when do they have to decide this?
Okay,
can
they haven't made a decision on who's going to be in there. They haven't made
that
decision
yet. I know. Isn't that ridiculous? So, I mean, there's a billion people that could be in it. So there's only four from each side. And then, of course, the captain. So we'll see who they pick. But I would have to believe that Prince Fielder and Miggy, dude, are just almost guaranteed. But then you have to then the only other choice would be Chris Davis. So
I wouldn't let Chris Davis touch. I wouldn't even let him touch a baseball bat.
Forget it, dude. He's not going to be slowing down for anybody.
Well, you know what? You don't. What does Crash Davis say?
What?
What does Crash Davis say? And it's true.
Well, who's Crash Davis?
God, you. Oh, I think I might have to alienate you from this show if you don't know who Crash Davis is.
Why, dude?
Oh, my God.
What the hell should I – am I just totally – this is over my head and I totally should know this?
Yeah, you know this. You're just spacing. Crash Davis, the catcher of Bull Durham. Crash Davis,
Bull Durham. Oh, I didn't remember that. I don't even know if I've seen Bull Durham. Obviously, I haven't.
You're a freaking communistic. You're on this show and you haven't seen Bull Durham?
I think I'm, what, a loser?
Oh,
I'm not a real baseball fan.
I don't think you should be like you should be banished.
Because this came out in the mid '80s, dude, and '80s is not cute. It came out in the mid '80s.
No.
I'm
dude,
sorry.
Hey, when you have 2 hours tonight, tomorrow, next week, okay, find it. Bull Durham. I'm going to tell you.
Is Kevin Costner?
Yes, Costner in it, and the guy from Shawshank Redemption is the pitcher, and he's the worst actor pitch. I mean, he's the worst, you know, delivery of a pitcher that you'd ever seen. You know, so take that part out. He's supposed to be a great pitcher, but on the movie he looks so bad. But take away from that, the movie is great, and Crash Davis says you don't fuck with the winning streak. Okay, and that is that.
Right.
You leave that guy alone. Don't let Chris Davis. Don't even let him even.
What
watch
you think
it.
He should not change his socks too or his underwear? I mean, what should he do?
Hey, you know, in Bull Durham, you know, the pitcher wears a garter, and Crash Davis says, "Hey, the rose goes in the front, big guy." There's just certain things that you do in baseball, and I don't know. I mean, I know the All-Star game. I understand the value of the All-Star game. But with as much money that is involved with Major League Baseball anymore, I wouldn't even let my players go. Not if you're Chris Davis.
I can't even afford to go, okay, because it's like $50 to park at Citi Field. And on top of that, I was just listening to the fan radio, and I didn't even – it's at Citi Field. It's here. I didn't really look into getting tickets for the All-Star game. I looked into getting tickets for the Futures game on Sunday, and that's the one I'm interested in. So I did look for tickets there, and they're reasonable. You know, they're like $65-$70 for a decent seat. And apparently at the All-Star game, this lady called into the fan radio yesterday, and they were talking about inflation and how when the host was a kid, it was like, I don't know, $30 to see the All-Star game or something, but inflation is like three times that, but it's gone up. So it's three times what it should have been according to inflation, which would put the ticket at like $130, and she said that was the worst seat in the house available. So you're paying a pretty penny to go to the All-Star game.
Well, I'll take a look at it. I have no clue what the All-Star
And I mean, you know, what
for.
Do you expect? You wait till the last minute to get your ticket too, but I'm sure it's like the Rose Bowl or, you know, every year. Just the All-Star game is probably sold out like that every year, depending on where it's at. But, of course, you got to add $50 a ticket if you're in New York because they like to think that they're better than the rest of the country.
Well,
but
here's
I do want to go to the – yeah, go ahead.
The All-Star game I'm looking at here is that – let's see here – $315 on this is, I think this is StubHub. Yeah, StubHub.
That's the cheapest one, right?
I think it's the cheapest one. Okay, I'm
looking
at
it. Here, I have a StubHub app on my phone.
Holy cow. This is just, see.
Right, so it's expensive.
$345.
People aren't messing around.
For standing room only.
Yeah, for standing room only. So you, if you wanted to go to that game, you would be much better off just going there and, like, scout, getting a ticket from some dude, like, probably in the first inning, go after the game started, and then, like, find a guy that couldn't sell a ticket for $300, and you could probably get it for $60. But I want to go, the Futures game, I'm sure, I know that's in StubHub because I just looked it up yesterday, and that, they're, you can get tickets, like, in the second level for, you know, pretty much right behind home plate for, like, $70.
Well, see, that's not bad.
So I just might be over there scouting some young boys.
You got to be careful how you say that.
I know. I like saying it like that because I like to, you know, make people start rumors and shit.
I
you know,
love
give
it.
People
I
something to
it.
Do.
Yeah, make them happy somehow.
Cargo left. Poor Cargo, dude. He's in trouble again. He just doesn't do that good without Tulowitzki. And I feel bad for Lenny because he drafted McCutchen, Cargo, and Justin Upton, who's also in a slump with his – I think he felt bad for his brother, BJ, so he just stopped hitting. So his brother didn't get a complex. Like,
I think he's –
what the hell, dude?
Now,
you guys
right?
now – Who?
Isn't he hurt with a finger now or something like that? I think I read someplace where he has a finger injury.
You love the finger injury, right? Don't you just love the finger? That's Ryan Braun's injury, too. I love when I see, you know, I probably underplay how important a finger is. I mean, really, you need fingers to hold a bat and blah, blah, blah. But if you're only down one finger, dude, don't tell me you can't hold the bat with the other nine fingers. I mean, a thumb, okay, you know, you need the thumb a little more than the other fingers. But you don't ever hear Beltre out with a thumb injury or a finger problem.
Yeah. I got
a finger
problem when I can't flip the bird, okay? That's my finger. But this guy's also got a back problem, too. I think he's got a sore back. And believe me, I understand where that guy's coming from, especially this morning. But,
Cargo left with a hand injury.
Yeah.
Cargo's out with a hand injury. And Tulowitzki's starting a rehab assignment. I really think that when Tulo's healthy, Cargo hits. He gets numbers, you know. They need each other, man. I think that they feed off of each other, those two. And
I imagine.
Now, Aramis Ramirez could be out now. He's going to miss some days next week. And then, you know, going into the All-Star break, it's easy for managers to just be like, oh, just kick it. Like, Yadier Molina is not feeling that well, and I'm hoping that he gets – I mean, this guy beat out Buster Posey, like
– Mm-hmm.
to be the catcher in the All-Star game, but I don't know if that – I would not – I mean, there's a situation where you can't let Yadi play in the All-Star game. I mean, this guy's got issues. He's been fighting an injury for the last few days.
Well, you know
so
I'm
when
not
you're actually fighting
argue.
An injury – right, but nobody's even talking about it. They're like, you know, he's not even
right.
hurt.
They aren't talking about it. You're right. They are not talking about it.
Well, they should be – they need to just put Posey in as a starter because, you know, that's just how it's going to be. I mean, Yachty's not playing.
Well, I, you know, yeah, but I want to get back just really quick. I think the fact that cargo is hurt is going to hurt the Colorado. You know, I mean, even in that division, I think that's going to be a big, big time loss for this baseball team heading into the second half of the season without having him in the lineup consistently. And Lord knows, depending on what kind of finger it is, it could be like Ryan Braun. Now, hold on. Now, if I'm not mistaken, isn't Ryan Braun done for the year?
No, he's coming back today.
Oh, okay. I thought he was. I thought there was some talk about. I know there was some talk about him being gone for the year because of the steroids thing and stuff like that. That's probably what I got caught up in.
Yeah, just try not to believe everything you read on Twitter.
I know. Hey, it's true if it's on the internet. It's
but cargo, I think they're just being extra cautious with cargo, especially because we are going into the All-Star break and you're going to have a week off, so you might as well just rest him now rather than lose weeks on end. You know, Tula Whiskey's going to come back after the All-Star break, so, you know, I mean, if those two can come back at the same time, then why? I don't care. I mean, I don't think it's that serious of an issue. Ryan Howard, though, I think Ryan Howard's probably...
big time in Major League Baseball.
What about Chris Medlin? Are you a fan? Didn't we talk about Medlin a few times? Like, why do you think that this guy?
I'm not a great big fan of him, but that doesn't mean that he's not a good player. I sometimes put too much on streaks, okay? And that's kind of what I think about him.
For the last month of the season, like the last month or two of the season, he pitched like a phenom, okay? He pitched like better than Strasburg could. And so everybody really drafted Chris Medlin. And I'm like, the guy's never even – I mean, he's not even a starter, really. I mean, the guy, honestly, he hasn't had enough innings under his belt to prove to me that he's actually going to be – do you remember when James Shields did that a few years ago? And I was like –
yes.
This guy just came out of nowhere, and you guys all think it's James Shields. Why do you think now he's going to be a different pitcher than he was? Oh, well, he changed his delivery. Yeah, that's the easy out. It's like saying he changed his batting stance, right? Okay, that's what you say
exactly.
When you have no clue what the guy did.
I put
did.
My foot a quarter of an inch further back now.
You know, Chris Medlin now all of a sudden, because of how phenomenal he pitched going into the end of last season, it was like supposed to be this David Price of the future. And it's like, I don't know, dude. But, you know, there's still a lot of arguments out there about whether or not he is, because he does have some decent numbers, but he's like one of those pitchers that goes out and you could just watch him get shelled, you know? Like, I don't know if he – it's hard to explain because I probably don't know the proper terminology, but he just – to me, doesn't seem like he has the mound presence that a guy, I don't know. I didn't draft him, and partly because I don't draft pitchers that early anyway, but I don't have a lot of faith in him, and I still don't. He 5 innings yesterday, 6 earned runs, but, you know, right before that, he had a great outing. I guess it's like, if you own him, you believe in him, and if you don't, you kind of don't believe in him.
Well, yeah, but it's kind of funny. I mean, when you look at him and some other players and the fact that there is an All-Star game and the fact that there are some players that probably should be, you know, an All-Star that didn't get, you know, when you look at these poor guys, you go, like, who cares? You know, I don't know. I mean, how many players? I mean, that's why.
Well, just remember.
Go ahead.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt you again. I was going to let you continue your sentence.
No.
Okay.
No,
well, what I was going to say that Marco Scudero made the roster.
Yeah.
So if that tells you anything, Marco Scudero. But I mean, I'm a fan, you know. But really, Josh Donaldson didn't make the roster.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of
and you got okay. There's a last ballot, right, for the fans to decide, and I think that Puig got put on that ballot just to like so that there wouldn't be any sort of like controversy or you know whatever how much crap the coach is going to get for putting Puig on the All-Star team. So he just let you know there's now a final ballot where the fans get to decide out of 5 players in the American League and the National League, what's the one player that, you know, gets in? It's like the second chance on American Idol or some crap. So on the American League, it's all middle relief pitchers, dude. And, okay, so here's the National League 5 guys. It's Ian Desmond, Adrian Gonzalez, you know, heavy hitters like Big Puig is on there. So, I mean, it's going to be quite hard for them to decide, for the fans to come up with the proper guy. But, okay, you look over there. Now it's Uhara. Koji Uhara is on there, dude, a middle relief guy for the Red Sox. And this is all because Leland, dude, loves middle relief guys and thinks that they should get more noticed than they do. And so he's making a point by putting all middle relief guys. Like, you have to vote in a middle relief guy. I'm not going to give you a chance not to.
Yeah, but I think I know why. I don't think it's because he necessarily loves middle relievers. I think he's doing that to bring in more players for the game and things of that sort.
How effective do you need a middle relief pitcher when you have the best pitchers? I mean, I don't know. You could put, you know, there's probably five closers that are already nominated as reserve and starters, you know. Only one guy is going to be able to close the game out. So then you got, like, the best closers in baseball as reserve, you know, because there's only one guy that gets to be the closer. So then you got to use those guys as middle relief pitchers. But he has said, you know, that he doesn't feel that middle relief pitchers get enough, you know, kudos and love. And he's right, absolutely right about that. I mean, middle relief guys are imperative to how well
important
a closer does. Oh, for sure. When you win by a run, you know, like Baltimore had all those one-run wins, and that you look at the middle infield or the middle part of the rotation, and that's where you put your love because, you know, they can falter and they could ruin it, but nobody really it always seems like all the attention gets put on the closers and the starters, but seriously, that's fine, Jim Leland, but another instance, though, is who would you put on that? If there wasn't all middle relief guys, can you come up with a guy? Like Lenny said, who's the American League Rookie of the Year this year? And you all of a sudden, the only name that pops into your head is Puig. And then you think, okay, well, that's the National League. But then you can't even think of an American League rookie that would qualify for Rookie of the Year. Not one.
Well,
right?
I don't know. There's a few
who?
That are out there. Well, the guys
you can't.
That are no Grimm. I think Justin Grimm, should be considered there.
Certainly, absolutely. So that one is named, and then
Connor Gillespie. I like him at third base, but he plays on such a bad team that he's not going to get noticed.
Lenny's trying to tell me Jose Iglesias, and I'm like, okay, the fact that he's hitting way better than we thought he would hit is one thing, dude. The fact that he's got, like, 9 RBI and, like, two stolen bases or home runs, I mean, this guy is not known as a hitter. His batting average is super good, and the defense from hell, you know. So, yeah, you could give him some love there. But there's very few. I mean, there's several rookies, like – you could name 5 or 6 rookies in the National League that could qualify for the Rookie of the Year, but
Miller,
none in the American League, really.
Miller Gatiss, I think he's there.
You got Corbin and, I mean,
Fernandez.
All kinds of guys. Lance Lynn.
Yeah, Fernandez over there. Yep.
You got Puig.
Rosenthal.
You have so many rookies.
Yeah.
They need to share some rookies.
I think it's great how they stand out from league to league, you know? It almost makes you wonder what's wrong with the National League when you got that many rookies doing well, but you can't think of them over on the American League side.
It makes me wonder what's wrong with the American League, dude, that they're not – that they think that they're that good, that they don't have to invest in the future, you know? This is a perfect example of what happens when you sell your rookies to win right now and you don't think about your future, and now all of a sudden it's like teams like the Yankees, the Red Sox. I mean, you can't – yeah, they have a couple good pieces, but those pieces are totally tradable. They're not learning their lesson yet anyway. But look at
and
the American League, dude.
I follow the National League a little more too. But
I like the National League better. They're better to watch.
I like the National League better, definitely. And, you know, how they do it. I think Gatiss from the Atlanta Braves is crazy good, if I'm not mistaken. This guy
he's
is
been
like
okay.
That. Yeah, I mean,
Evan Gattis.
What do you expect? I mean, that's the thing. I don't know. It just goes to show that either depending on how you look at it, that could be either good or bad. You know, that the National League's so bad that you know, the rookies have to stand out. On the
I don't think so,
side,
dude.
Is that what
you... I don't agree with that at all. I think that it shows that the National League is getting stronger by the season, and it did last year. The American League didn't even score a freaking run. Remember, they couldn't even get a hit last year, and they had, Miggy and Big Poppy and Prince Fielder. They had everybody, dude. They couldn't score a freaking run. I mean, that's this is going to be a trend that is going to continue, I think. I like it. I'm happy that the National League is taking over because the American League's always had kind of an advantage in that sense. You know, they get the DH. Mm-hmm. They get to, you know, have the heavy hitters over there.
But the American League is a big reason why we're not seeing the steals. Seeing that competitive thing. I think because of the bats more so. Like you said, over in the American League, I mean, you don't need a guy to like Torrey Hunter to steal bases when you got the big guys coming up behind them and things like that. Compared to the National League, I think you see more of that in the National League more so than the American League because of what the bats are all about in the American League. I think the National League is more of a strategic league, more so than the American League. When managers or owners hire managers to do what they want them to do, and that's what ends up happening. I think the days of, you know, a manager that really puts his team together, puts them in, the only team in the American League that I think does that is Texas with Washington as the manager. He generates runs, and I love that about Washington compared to any of the other ones in the American League.
Can you believe how bad the White Sox are doing?
No, I can't, and that it actually kind of pisses me off. When I was going over the standings, I hadn't looked in the standings in a couple of weeks, and I didn't realize they have fallen
it's bad,
off
right?
the face. Yeah, I didn't realize they've fallen off the face. 34-51 for crying out loud. I didn't even have to look that
it's
up.
Bad.
That's how mad I was when I read it, because I'm kind of a White Sox fan.
Well, serves him right for getting rid of Ozzie. Well, actually, Ozzie, I think, I don't know, it was probably mutual, but, you know, and everybody needs a change.
That was 2 years ago, though.
I know, but I've not really been that much of a fan, and there's really no good reason to be a fan that much. I mean, they just I don't know what the... They haven't been, I don't know, whatever the White Sox are doing, they're worse than the Marlins, and they're probably worse than Houston, because, you know.
Houston's awful, too, yeah.
I don't know. They come around sometimes. They don't have a lot of pressure on them, so I think that they're focusing on, you know, their young players or whatever, and that's, I think, you know, they have a couple of, decent players, but you're right. When you play on that bad of a team, it does affect your numbers, so.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Check the stats. I mean, you got the leading hitter on that team is Ramirez batting .277. Then Rios at .277 and .268 for crying out loud.
Okay, I have to tell you something before I forget and before I go because I do have some work to do today. But you'll like this, Jay-Z. You're familiar with our boy Jay-Z. We talked about Robinson Cano and that whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay, and what's Scott Boras? Okay, Scott Boras, hold on a minute. I have to type this up. I have to, give me 1 second. Do you hear me pecking? Okay.
You're a hunting pecker just like I am. By the way, the only thing that, while you're doing that sale, I'm loving Chris Sale. Remember we talked about him last year?
Oh, yes.
On how good this guy is?
Certainly.
I mean, I saw a play with where he got off of the mound so fast the other day and threw out a speedster on first base. It was crazy. Love saying.
Oh, this is good. So I not only figured out what happened. Okay, so I'm listening to it was a random Blog Talk Radio show, actually. And they started talking about Jay-Z and his new lyrics in his song where he calls out Scott Boras. And I want to find out exactly what he said. He said something like, Cano's coming with me. It says... Scott Boras, you over, baby. Robinson Cano, you're coming with me. Okay, so you can hear it at 29 seconds into the song. I'll forward it to you, or I'll put the link in the chat room. Or nobody's
in the
chat room.
Put
the
link in the chat room, yeah.
Okay, I will. And Scott Boras tries to... I mean, that was the basic of what I wanted to tell you until I just was looking it up and saw trying to figure out which article to share with you and the rest of the world here. And I'm not even in the freaking chat room, okay?
I know. I know you're not.
Okay, so I'll send it to you on Facebook. I mean, I am on Facebook.
And by the way, if Lenny is listening still, which I think because we've gone over and not, I got to call Lenny. I got to tell him to make you sit down and watch Crash. You've got to watch. I cannot believe a baseball person such as you have
Bull
not
Durham.
Seen Bull Durham. You're probably a freaking communist. I cannot believe it.
Okay, let me find this freaking article so I can talk about some Jay-Z real quick. Okay.
And by the way,
so
if you
Cano,
watch it, forget about the love scenes and stuff like that because it's more
dude,
about the
I
other
Dude, I can't
stuff.
Stand that crap. Yeah,
I know.
I'm not
Just
a fast fan
forward
of that.
To it. There's not much in it. So.
I think I actually have seen that movie, but I'll have to check it out. So Cano did leave Scott Boras. He left in April to sign with Jay-Z's Roc Nation Sports, which is in partnership with called Creative Artists Agency. It's huge. It's a ton of rappers or whatever. So Boras comes out and tries to make a response and says he's trying to make a point that his agency is successful because it focuses on just one sport, where Jay-Z and Roc Nation are going to try to juggle multiple sports. He says baseball's given us everything we have, so we give baseball everything we have. All of the time. We believe that this is the best thing we can do for fans, players, and owners to help players with their total commitment. We don't represent basketball players or football players. We watch, observe, and listen to the game. We help the players who play it with a singular purpose, and that is baseball. We have a marketing company, but opportunities don't avail themselves unless players become stars, and that's our philosophy. And, you know, you can't take away from Scott Boras what he's done, but wouldn't that just make you cringe your teeth, dude? Because you know he's just pissed and fuming inside. So the only thing you got on Jay-Z and Roc agency, dude, is the fact that they're doing too many sports. You wish you did too many sports. Cano is going to start – you get Cano over there. You're going to start a trend with at least all the brothers, not trying to be racist or anything, but it is what it is, you know. There's rappers in baseball. There always have – you know, there's rappers in basketball. There's people that like hip-hop music. I'm a fan of hip-hop music, so there's white guys too. But Robinson Cano going over there is going to make a big difference. And people are getting annoyed with Boras too. He doesn't – he
somehow.
Insists – A player never, ever re-signs with his club. Have you noticed that? I mean, it's like 5% of the time the player actually re-signs. In a spot where Cano is right now, it's very rare for a player to sign before they hit the free agency. Scott Boras loves his people to hit free agency because he wants to see what other offers are going to come in. And, certainly it works out for them. But when you're a guy like, I don't know, Cano or Canerco, I mean, Cano doesn't need to be talked into getting to the free agency, in my opinion. I mean, don't you think he would be the perfect asset for the fans and for what New York is trying to do? I mean, trying to tempt New York Yankees, dude, into, like, who's going to be the tougher guy? Who's going to, you know, offer the most money or take the best deal? Who's going to give in before who is not smart.
I think in Cano's case, it's not.
Dude, the Yankees are not – I mean – You don't think he's going to get paid somewhere else?
Oh, no. I think he will. But the only problem with Cano not signing with the simple fact of the matter is this guy, I think as far as the money is concerned, you know, he can go wherever he wants to and take a little bit less because what Jay-Z can bring him on off of the field. Yeah, you know. Is more so than what Scott Boras was saying. I think there's more opportunity elsewhere to make more money to make up for what you wouldn't make in Major League Baseball. And
he's going to get him a clothing line and shit?
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Other ways of finding money more so than just Scott Boras, you know, getting them baseball, traditional baseball sponsorship commercials and shit like that. Jay-Z's opens up a bigger world in that part of it. Forget baseball. Let them live off of what they're making in endorsements and things that they do.
Yeah,
Jay-Z,
but here's the deal, dude.
To them.
It's Robinson Cano's job to play baseball. That's what he specializes in. He's not a rapper. He's not a clothing designer. Him and his dad, they're baseball players to the end. The thing about Boras, though, I think, is that I believe that he has a better shot of getting the Yankees to re-sign him with Jay-Z and his new company than Scott Boras was ever going to get him. And first of all, the Yankees
That's
would.
Probably true.
I can't wait to see what happens when they don't sign Cano and what the fans are going to do. They're going to whine for like 2 years straight. Because Mariano's going to be gone. You lose Cano, dude. The fans are going to be in an uproar here in New York. It's almost worth it just to sign his ass, just to not hear the fans crying.
Yeah, exactly. Because they're going to, look at Teixeira. Look at what's going on with A-Rod and all the other
Jeter.
Problem players that they got with the Jeter. I don't think, and that's another thing. When's his contract?
They don't have
that's
any
an
stability, dude.
Yep.
Cano is the stability. But you know these kids over here of Steinbrenner are much more on the not deep pocket side than their dad was, dude. So they're not willing to spend. You know, I think they look at it like, why are we going to put all of this money into one, you know, basket when our whole team is not going to be competing for the next – I don't even know if they'll admit that, but the Yankees, Cashman, with Cashman there, it's like you find a way to make the – You know, you find a way to let the fans know that you want to win. That's what the Yankees do. And the fans
Absolutely.
Are, they will ruin your life, dude, if you don't try to let them know that you are trying to win some form of way.
But the
fans will ruin your life.
Right, but the difference between George Steinbrenner before he passed away and the people that are in there, I would love to see how George Steinbrenner attacked what is going on with as far as all the injuries to the high pass players and what he would have done.
He would have bought more players.
See, and that's
he would
what
buy
I think
players.
He would
have done. Dude, he would have bought Mike Stanton by now. He would have had Mike Stanton.
We'll buy somebody else. Mm-hmm.
He would have bought Mike Stanton. He would be buying, you know, he would have bought Albert Pujols. He does not care, dude, if you're Derek Jeter or Teixeira. If you don't play, we replace you. He would have replaced
yep.
A-Rod by now. He
no,
would have
absolutely.
Ordered some more pitchers to come on over there,
yes.
and he wouldn't
mm-hmm.
be messing around. He would have just bought players. He spends money to make money, and that's the New York way, dude. But his kids are not like that. They're God forbid they go over the tax threshold. Are you kidding me? You've been over the tax threshold every freaking year since your daddy bought the team.
Yep, exactly.
So,
and they don't understand, you know, as far as – see, and that's why I miss George Steinbrenner in Major League Baseball, you know, because
– So do
he,
I.
As much as it's so predictable, the ballsiness of what he was all about, which is what made him so great. I mean, the guy had balls of steel. He'd go out and he, you know, a guy was definitely going to re-sign with this team. He'd go right up underneath him and say, listen, I'll take you, I'll pay you more money, and I'll put you in a better market. I will do everything and everything to feed you. And more so, you know, these guys are not used to seeing this. They don't know what to do. They don't have the stones that their father had, because that's exactly what
no.
I think he would have done. Oh, A-Rod's down, Teixeira's down. We're going to lose Mario. We're going to do who's available?
They
Let's
would
go
be,
get them.
Oh yeah, they would have players. They'd have a whole new team.
Absolutely.
They would have bought it, and that's fine. You know, I don't think. I mean, Steinbrenner. I never despised a guy. I mean, because, you know, the head of the evil empire, you know, easy to hate Steinbrenner, my whole, you know, I'm a Red Sox fan, and that's,
yeah.
I think that the passion that I, half the passion that I, you know, got for the Red Sox came from my hate for the Yankees and Steinbrenner, and after he passed away, I literally shed a tear, because it's not, I need him in my life.
Yes. Absolutely.
Give me the passion that I have for baseball, and he gave something to me. You know, it's like it's kind of sad for me. I do miss him a lot, because he did add something definitely to the game.
Absolutely, and as a baseball as a whole, I think, you know, George Steinbrenner, as much as everybody bitched about him and hated him, he was not good for baseball. He was great for baseball, and that's almost like Brett Favre. Okay, Brett Favre, even when he was playing bad, he was great for the NFL. You say what you want about him. You know, you hated him. You know, oh, he can't be, you know, he's going from team to team, blah, blah, blah. He was great for the NFL. That's what George Steinbrenner brings to Major League Baseball. And that, and we're not going to find another guy like that because no one else will take a look
has
at the
balls.
Business side of it. Yep, exactly. They won't take the steps necessary to be that George Brent, to be the guy that will stand out because they don't want to spend the money. And George Brent.
Oh, and they don't
want to
offend anybody. You know,
him,
like one of his
it.
Main guys, he fired like 5 or 6, maybe 10 times, you know, and then he'd come
Billy
back to work. But so, go ahead.
No, I'm just joking. And I know Billy Martin was part, but that's the guy I think of whenever
Billy
someone was fired.
Okay,
Yankees,
so
Billy
I got to go, dude. I got
to
go to UPS. I got to take some Amazon stuff to the post office to sell.
All right, very well.
To ship out. But, okay, so what, on that note, George Steinbrenner rules, and his kids are not doing it, dude. Cashman's probably just
don't.
What the hell is going on?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sucks.
All right, well, we'll catch you then on Friday, and I should be up a little bit earlier, hopefully, and to where I can get the back stretched out and ready to go at the regular time.
Whenever. Enjoy your week, dude.
You betcha. See ya.